Hi, this is Clean Power Cup Guy in Scottsdale, Arizona, with Rejuvenate Your Hormones and Wellness. I hope you're doing good today. It is Labor Day weekend, and hoping that you get a chance to rest up and get ready for whatever's next in your life. Anyway, it's been pretty nice around here. It's been, 85, 90 compared to last week of 115. I thought I was going to getting tired of it, but we're having a good Labor Day weekend. So today I want to talk about testosterone. This is episode number 3. I want to talk about testosterone in men this time. Last week was pretty heavily packed. I addressed it with women and it just got too deep. I'm learning here on these podcasts. This is my third one. So this is episode number 3. So let's see how it goes. I want to talk about the history of testosterone. Did you know that the symptoms of testosterone deficiency has been known throughout the ages, with evidence dating back to the 21st century BC, when men were castrated to be docile and obedient servants? Aren't you glad you're living today versus back then? And then it got even better. Experimentation ingesting mammalian testicles began during the reign of the Roman Empire, and it continued through the 19th century with claims that the substances found within these testicles could improve energy, erectile function, and urination. Makes me think about those Rocky Mountain oysters. Never heard about them until I moved to Arizona. Although having discussions this week a little bit with friends on the history, I guess they're in other places too. And then in the 20th century, studies transplanting animal testes onto other castrated animals suggested that a substance produced in the testicle was responsible for systemic effects. Rolling on later in time, in 1939, finally, Adolf Butenandt and Leopold Ruzicka manipulated parts of the cholesterol molecule and demonstrated that testosterone could be synthesized from cholesterol. And shortly after that point, a synthetic formulation of testosterone was created and on the market. So where is testosterone produced in a male? Well, you probably know, in the testes, and then a small amount in the adrenal glands. 1 to 2% of testosterone circulates the blood, and in the remaining part of it is bound to proteins, including albumin and sex hormone binding globulin, also known as SHBG. Your plasma levels of testosterone vary throughout your life, and it also varies, quite honestly, if you're under stress, if you're tired, you know, just to what's going on. So it's going to fluctuate. There's a study out there called the Massachusetts Male Aging Study, and it established that testosterone peaks around the age of 30 years old. Get that one. Followed by a decline of 1 to 2% annually. Think of it this way. By the time a man, or you, gets to 50 to 60 years old, that could be a 20 to 30% decline in testosterone. And then, according to the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, 1 in 4 men between the ages of 30 and 79 will have a total testosterone level less than 300, which is defined as hypogonadism. So let me tell you about this. There is no scientific-based evidence to support this number, yet this is the guideline. So if you're hitting at 301 and you have symptoms, you do not have hypogonadism, you may not be covered under insurance, and your provider may not treat you just thinking that you are normal, even though you're having symptoms. And the FDA has only approved testosterone, you know, for this, and it is not meant for the treatment of age-associated decline in testosterone levels. You're supposed to suffer. So what are the signs and symptoms of low testosterone in men? Well, do you have any of these? Physical exhaustion, lacking vitality, decrease in your muscular strength, feeling that you passed your peak, decrease in your beard growth, erectile dysfunction, weight gain, unable to lose it, it's in your gut, it just won't go away, feeling that you're burnt out and that you've hit rock bottom, decreases in your sexual desire and your libido, decreasing your ability and frequency to perform sexually, a depressive moon, like just feeling down and sad, sometimes on the verge of tears, mood swings, feeling nothing is anything of use, feeling aggressive, feeling easily upset over little things, brain fog, difficulty in sleeping and staying asleep, waking up early, feeling tired, sleeplessness, cognitive impairment or memory loss, possibly, you know, early signs of dementia. You're not alone. You know, women go through this, you know, a little bit different than you guys, but they go through it. And I have men coming in with these symptoms all the time, and they are real. Did you also know that men that have low testosterone rates, 90% of the time, there are 90% of the cases can show these patients will have fatigue, low energy, they can't exercise. They literally, in some cases, they tell me they can't get off the couch at night. They come home from work or a day, you know, of whatever they're doing, and they just don't have anything else to give. Nothing else to give. It is very real. It is due to their low, low amounts of testosterone. In some cases, you know, they kind of detach from their families. Their families are, noticing and getting very, very, you know, upset with it because they're not contributing to the family. So it can be very real. And I'll tell you another thing, you know, low testosterone, you know, the symptoms I just read, you may have no symptoms, none. But this is the thing, as you're going to learn what I discussed today, disease can creep in without you even knowing it. Osteopenia, osteoporosis, plaque building up in your arteries, you know, possibly in time, you know, dementia. So it's a concern. So now that I'm talking about that, let's talk about the diseases of low testosterone, obesity, obstructive sleep apnea. If you've got this, guys, you really need to get it addressed. I tell you, I've heard some stories. I've had some personal things in my family that can really, really happen. Get it addressed. Do not ignore it and think it's going to go away. Cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, diabetes, hypertension, COPD, kidney disease, cancer, erectile dysfunction, all linked to low testosterone levels. So, you know, I have people asking me all the time, what should my levels be of testosterone? And I'll tell you what, sometimes there are providers or patients, they're more focused on a number versus what is going on. What is the symptom? How are you feeling? Did you know that there is no real recommended evidence-based levels? No, there's not. There's nothing out there. There is no single testosterone measurement that is accurate, nor that it correlates with your physiologic effects. So, you know, when we look at these lab values and you go in after your lab test and it tells you, you know, I'm just throwing a range out here, 200 to 300 is normal. So when I look at those reference ranges, let's talk about that. It's a patient population. It's a patient population of people about your age. But most likely, you know, are they healthy? Are they not? We don't know. Are they on hormones? Probably not. So this is what happens with me in my clinic is that I try not to give the labs out before I walk through them with a patient because they'll get a call and they're like, oh my gosh, my levels are high. What are we going to do? Well, they are high. If you're on hormones, they are going to be high because first of all, we're trying to bring your hormones not to a person of your age, but younger. So you feel better and younger. So yeah, they're going to be high. And what I'm more focused on to tell you the truth is what is your symptoms? How do you feel? What do I need to do? Do I need to take down that cholesterol level or do I need to bring down that belly fat? You know, those are the things that I'm looking at when I talk with you as a patient and we discuss things. You know, people will come in to me. I want to get some weight off my body. Great. Let's do some hormones. Well, really? Like, I just want the weight off. No, let's take a look. And I'll tell you what, I have men that come in to me and they never thought that their testosterone was low. They never even felt it. And I'm like, yeah, here's part of the problem. Let's do the weight loss. Let's do the hormones together. And they'll have better effects. Trust me on this. So, like I said, what is it good for? Tearing down high cholesterol levels, reducing that fat, you know, subcutaneous fat, visceral fat, belly fat, reducing your waist circumference, trying to prevent disease, prevent vascular disease. I tell you what, if you got vascular disease going on, you're going to have erectile dysfunction probably going on. So why do we want to keep those testosterone levels up? Because we don't want that going on, right? To keep your arteries clean. That's where it's coming from. And to protect your heart and to prevent possible strokes. Protect your brain, because I don't want dementia, right? And your bones. So what I really think when somebody comes into my office, I want to know their family history. What has been going on with it? Do you have cardiovascular disease in your family? Has your brother had it? Has your grandfather had it? Has your father had it? What is it? Also diabetes, same thing. I want to know what's been going on. But do you know cardiovascular disease is a major cause of disease in men and women? Once they go into menopause, women, men, as your levels of testosterone come down. So that is going to be a risk, and that is just known out there. So protection is also observed in women. It's attributed to the beneficial effects of estrogen. So when they go into menopause, their estrogen is gone. Well, guess what happens? Disease starts creeping in. You know, so menopause hits, their estrogen declines, and then boom, next thing you know, they've got some stuff like cardiovascular disease. Same thing, men. You know, testosterone decreases and your estradiol decreases, your visceral fat and your waist circumference all go up. Well, now guess what? You got a risk. But did you know that testosterone aromatizes into estradiol? Estradiol is your best friend with some of this, and it also will protect your prostate, just so you know. But it's going to protect your heart also. So, you know, as we've been talking here and as I've been rambling, studies have shown low testosterone levels are linked to increased risk of cardiac risk and also mortality. It also shows that optimized testosterone levels have been shown to elicit cardioprotective effects. So let's just run through a few of these studies, okay? So one was done in JAMA. In 2017, it's called the Association of Testosterone Replacement with Cardiovascular Outcomes Among Men with Androgen Deficiency. And the objective was to investigate the association between testosterone replacement therapy and cardiovascular outcomes in men with low androgen levels or testosterone levels. These men had to be 40 years old with morning serum testosterone levels less than 300. And they followed these men for over a median of 3.4 years. Well, the conclusion was found that men that had testosterone replacement had lower risk of cardiovascular outcomes. They were on testosterone, lower risks. Also, many population-based studies have been found an inverse correlation between androgenesis testosterone levels and all cause of cardiovascular mortality, especially in older men. Another one, a prospective study in 2008 called Low Serum Testosterone and Mortality in Older Men in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology Metabolism. And what they found is men who had low testosterone levels had a 40% increased likelihood of a 20-year mortality rate compared to those with higher levels, which could not be explained by a range of comorbidities and risk factors, including age. This was consistent with the results of the prospective Rotterdam study, which reported inverse association between testosterone levels in old men and risk and progression of severe aortic atherosclerosis. So now that we're talking about atherosclerosis, there was a study called Increased Carotid Atherosclerosis in Andropausal Middle-Aged Men. And their background, what they wanted to see was male sex hormones may play a dual role in atherosclerosis. Well, sure enough, they examined these patients, and the association between carotid artery intima media thickness was correlated, and they found that men that had lower levels had increased thickness. So the data suggests that normal testosterone levels may offer protection against the development of atherosclerosis in middle-aged men. Now let's go back and talk about exercise. You know, we all know that leading a sedentary life is just not good, right? I mean, we're going to get fat and all these kinds of things and have low energy. But did you also know that if you're sedentary, your testosterone levels are just going to be low, low? So one reason to get moving and get off that couch and get to that gym, right? And it's also been shown that in randomized controlled trials that testosterone improves your metabolic profile, including your fat and free muscle. Additionally, glycemic control is enhanced. And guess what? your workouts are going to be better. So let's look at another thing out there, diabetes. Studies have shown that low levels of total testosterone and free testosterone independently predict the later development of type 2 diabetes or metabolic syndrome. So what is this metabolic syndrome stuff? Well, it's a cluster of conditions that occur together in increasing your risk of heart disease, stroke, type 2 diabetes. So what are these conditions? Increased blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess body fat around the waist, abnormal cholesterol or triglyceride levels, and you'll see these apple and pear bodies. That's what it kind of looks at. I'll tell you another thing. I'm backing up here a little bit. So when I'm looking at cholesterol levels, not only, you know, we've always been taught, look at the LDL, that's the bad cholesterol. And then, okay. And then let's look at the HDL. Okay. Well, what we're finding out is that the LDL is not all that we thought it to be. There's another thing out there called apolipoprotein B. That is the thing that you want to look at, because that is going to tell you, that is where inflammation is building at the wall. And it's also going to tell you where your cardiac risks are. So it's actually, I think, you know, it's going to be something in the future here that we're all looking at versus, you know, just the LDL and trying to get it down. And I'll tell you another thing. If you are on a statin, I'm not bad mouthing a statin, but if you are on one, first of all, you in the future, you have higher probability of prediabetes, diabetes. So work on diet and all that kind of thing. But also if you have low, it'll wipe out your testosterone. So if you're on a statin, get yourself on testosterone. That's where I'm going to go with it. I'm going off a little bit here. So I also want to take a look at bone. You know, we always hear women in menopause, right? They get osteopenia, osteoporosis, they're going to fall down and they're going to break something. And a lot of times with them, as with men, they don't have any symptoms. They're going along in life thinking, I'm just fine, I'm not on hormones, and boom, it happens. So same thing with men. The International Osteoporosis Foundation, trusted source, estimate that 1 in 5 men over 50 years old will experience osteoporotic fracture in their lifetime. Ouch. In particular, osteoporosis often causes compression spine fractures and femoral neck fractures in elderly men, resulting in a decrease of activities, of course, and they're probably going to have to, you know, they're going to need some help. And if it goes into hip fracture, that's not good. Hip fractures are just bad as we get older. Mortality rate increases on that kind of thing. And they will be in a home probably most often. So how do you diagnose osteoporosis? Well, osteoporosis is diagnosed with bone mineral density scans. Typically, this is called a DEXA scan. It measures the number of x-rays that are absorbed by your tissues in bone to estimate your bone mineral density. This test, you just simply lay on a table and the scanner passes over you. And so I do actually order some DEXA scans for some of my men that have been low on testosterone for a long time because I want to know what's going on with them in that area, right? It's important. Now I want to talk to you about the importance of estrogen in men. I can go on with this subject forever and ever. Estrogen is good, okay? It is not a bad thing. So testosterone is a predominant male hormone, and estradiol is on the predominant female hormone. 2 to 5% of testosterone in men is converted to estradiol. The concept that testosterone is the male hormone and estrogen is the female hormone is just not the case anymore. Both sexes carry both hormones and both are relative. Did you know that a young man's estradiol range is somewhere between 75 and 100 picograms per mil? That's right. A lot higher, right? But did you also know that some want to bring it on down to 30 picograms per mil when you're on hormone therapy? Multiple studies have proven exactly opposite. Estradiol is essential for maintaining men's health and preventing many diseases. 50%, get this, of testosterone's health benefits are due to the aromatization of testosterone to estradiol. So, did you know that estradiol is important for all the following functions? Maintaining your lean body mass, decreasing your body fat, especially in the gut, increasing insulin sensitivity, your sexual desire, coronary vasodilation. It also stimulates production of the nitrous oxide, which plays a vital role in relaxing the cells and blood vessels. And this relaxation causes the blood vessel to widen, thus increasing circulation. Got that right? Anti-inflammatory, helps rebuild bone, increases good cholesterol, brings down bad cholesterol. So let me talk about, now we'll go to the other extreme. Low estradiol in men is associated with decreases in metabolism, decrease in bone mineral density, osteoporosis, decreases lean body mass, increases body fat, included visceral fat, decreases your sexual desire. It causes you maybe to have some hot flashes or excessive perspiration. Do you get that? And then also erectile dysfunction, and increases the risk of developing, as I said before, prostate cancer. Men have a high chance of it, man. I'd be wanting to carry a nice estradiol level. So get this though, men on aromatase inhibitors frequently have these symptoms: body aches, breast swelling, tender and pain, headaches and disturbed sleep, tiredness, flushing, excessive sweating, and hair thinning. Do you want that? Then multiple studies have shown that lowering estradiol men has serious medical consequences, such as increased cardiovascular disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, prostate cancer, and erectile dysfunction. You know, these aromatase inhibitors have been pushed by bodybuilders looking to boost their testosterone levels. And, cut down the estradiol. You know, they're blocking that estradiol, hoping that will pump it up. So there is one bodybuilder out there who wrote a book who recommends that men go to their hormone provider and complain about gynae. Oh my gosh, I got gynae. And then tell them you're crying and when you watch a sad movie. So the doctor, if they're not educated in hormones, will maybe write a script for an aromatase inhibitor. In the meantime, this provider has no clue, no idea to the harm that they may be creating within this male. Okay, now I want to talk to you about a couple studies. And one is called The Gonadosteroids and Body Composition and Sexual Function in Men. And it was in the New England Journal of Medicine. And what it states is this: basically, testosterone deficiency accounted for decreased lean mass, muscle size, and strength. Estrogen deficiency primarily accounted for increase in body fat and visceral fat. If you have low levels of each, the androgen, testosterone, and estrogen, it is contributed to the decline in sexual function. Subcutaneous fat increased in all groups when estrogen was blocked. Increases in visceral fat reduce insulin sensitivity, and they're all associated with metabolic syndrome and diabetes. Both increase the risk of what? Cardiovascular disease. Another one, the relationship of testosterone, estradiol, DHEA, SHBG to limit lipid and glucose metabolism in men. It was found, again, low estradiol levels were found to be associated with both high LDL, bad cholesterol, and high fasting blood sugar levels, and probably a high apolipoprotein B. So there's another one, the endogenous sex hormones and cardiovascular disease in men, another study. It was found that the higher the estradiol level was, it was associated with, was associated with risk for lower risk of cardiovascular disease. So lower risk, higher estradiol levels, lower risk for cardiovascular disease. The findings were also consistent with the hypothesis that endogenous estrogen has vascular protection. Estradiol, testosterone, and the risk for hip fractures in elderly men from the Framingham study found that men with low estradiol levels are increased risk for the future of having a hip fracture. Men with both low estrogen and low testosterone levels have had higher risk for hip fracture. And sadly for this, they have hip fractures account for significant morbidity and mortality in men. It's just not good. Wow, I cannot believe how fast our time went through this. And I hope you learned something, you know, about estradiol. You know, I think that's where, you know, since I'm leading out with it, like I said, I hear it so often that people want to block it, and you can read on it and you go on the internet and you find it all over, but there are no studies supporting it, nothing. And also, you've learned the effects of low testosterone. And, you know, I know it's not for everyone, but there are effects of having it. And to live a healthy life, running around with low testosterone may or may not be good for you, from what we learned today, right? So you know what? On this note, I want to thank you so much for listening to this me this week. In no way here should you take this as medical advice. The information here is only of my opinion and my thoughts, entertainment. It's not meant to prescribe medical advice. If you have questions for treatment, please address it with your provider. On that note, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you can receive new episodes right when they're released. You can either subscribe right now in the app you're using to listen to this podcast, or you can sign up for an email alerts at rejuvenatemyhormones.com. Rejuvenatemyhormones.com. Lastly, I do have a quick favor to ask before you go. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I hope that you will let me know. I would love to read through your reviews on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you have a minute to spare, let Apple know that great listeners like you enjoy our show, and that really helps expand our reach in the search results. Also, please include any topics, and I really mean this, please include topics. I would love to answer them in future episodes. So, look forward to us next week. I hope that you had a great Labor Day weekend, and cheers to a week of Rejuvenate Your Hormones and Health.